Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Call up, ring once, hang up the phone to let me know you made it home. Don't want nothing to be wrong with part-time lover. If she is with me, I'll blink the lights to let you know tonight's the night for me and you, my part-time lover. We are undercover, passion on the run. Chasing love.
Sing.
Up against the sun. We are strangers by day, lovers by night. Knowing it's so wrong, but feeling so right. If I'm with friends and we should meet, just pass me by. Don't even speak. Know the words discreet. With part-time lovers. But if there's some emergency, have a male friend to ask for me, so then she won't peek. It's part-time lover. Let me tell you about how them, let me tell you how them old niggas was creeping and trifling.
Steven.
Okay. Cause you know I am a big Steve Lind fan. Okay. Steve Lind of Detroit, Michigan, aka Stevie Wonder. He is my pinnacle peak favorite artist of all time. But that song was about living the what? Trife life. Praise the Lord, niggas.
Praise the Lord.
How are you this week, sister girl?
I have no complaints. I am safe and I have what I need.
Amen.
Thank you.
Same. How did you spend your weekend, actually? What did you do?
I didn't do much. Honestly, I had a few errands to run and some things to take care of around the house. The cleaning lady came.
The clean-up woman.
And it was a great time. A grat tim. What did I do with mine? I seem to have...
You better channel your inner me.
Yeah, how was your week? I'm so sorry. I'm a little distracted.
Mm-mm. You're fine. My week was good. Made it to Atlanta for the final celebration of Tristan's 40th birthday this year.
Of course. We
went to go see Young Jeezy perform live with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, which was amazing. Thank you so much. I will speak more in detail in my petty peeve, not about the show itself or the weekend in full, but you'll see.
Okay. All right.
But yes, the show itself and the weekend was a great weekend. We spent some time with my parents.
We spent some
time with each other. And it was just a nice quick in and out, eat some good food, enjoy some time together, enjoy a little bit of time with loved ones, and then go back home.
Wondrous.
And to see Young Jeezy perform in a tuxedo, like, stop it.
I mean, what I'm saying? What a wonderful time to be alive.
It really was. I almost forgot he was married to Jenny Mai.
Almost. Briefly. For one moment, huh?
For like 2 seconds. I was like, it's so black up in here. I love it. I feel it. Hold on. But
and then it was like, oh, man.
I was like, oh, man, I forgot Jenny Mai is at the crib. Let me stop.
So rude.
I am being rude. No, I had a really good time. And you know what was really lovely was you could tell even at this
at this point in his career, right? Because Jeezy's been in our lives now, I mean, since minimum 03, minimum, I think I'm giving it. And I could be very wrong with that. But clearly that's a career of longevity. That's 20 years at this point.
Yes.
And to see him go from Mr. 17-5, Jeezy the Snowman, promoting selling drugs in the community, and how he got to where he is, he's taken that, he's pivoted, and we've watched his growth to him evolve into a real estate mogul and doing a lot for the city that he came up in. And it was beautiful to see that even 20 years later in his career, 20-ish later or whatever in his career, he was grateful to be where he was. He's like, I never thought as a kid from Atlanta, I'd be standing on stage with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. And I thought that was a really beautiful thing. So all jokes aside, it was beautiful to be in a room full of black people in good looking clothes, rapping Jeezy lyrics, and like to see him celebrate himself in that way, mm-hmm. and to just see a moment where he felt very proud of himself, I think was just a really awesome thing to witness. So we had a really great time. We had a dope time.
I love that.
Yeah, we had a good ass time. And I think with that being said, sis, maybe we head on over to the trash since we have caught up.
Yes, let's head over.
Oh, let's do it. A clean up woman. All right, it is time for the basura, basura, cha, cha, cha.
Cha, cha, cha.
So I want to start off on a happy note.
Good. We need more of
shout
this.
Out to.
We need more.
Yeah, we
happy
do need
notes.
Some. We need some happy notes because we're not, you know, there's a lot happening in the world. So first and foremost, shout out to the Eagles for winning the NFC Championship.
Philly, baby.
But full baby, come on, Philly. And I know all of my Eagles fans, Antoinette lost her mind in addition to everybody else who was out here rooting for the Eagles. And I just think that Philly deserves wins. So I'm happy for you all. I don't know shit about football, but I'm very happy for you all. And I used to have a giant crush on Randy Moss.
Really?
Yeah, you know, I used to like him kind of dirty looking. And then, but also shout out to history being made. Because Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes are to become the first black starting quarterbacks in the NFL for the Super Bowl.
Wonderful.
And I think to face off at the Super Bowl. And I think that's so unbelievably awesome. And I'm really excited for them. And I guess I'm going to go for Philly because it's the closest thing to home. So, you know, in the conversation of biopics, biopics, whatever you want to call them, biopics, mm-hmm. Michael Jackson's nephew, Jafar, is due to play him in an upcoming biopic.
Is that Jermaine's boy?
Let's see who Jafar belongs to. Something tells me with that name that he does, because...
I think he is.
Jermaine, the nigga who's been painting his hair on for the past however long, Jermaine definitely would name his child Jafar. Who does Jafar Jackson belong to?
Belong to is hilarious. That is such a black thing to say. Who does that boy belong to?
Jackson. Who does? Okay, oh, yep. See, look, a search that gives you who you need. Okay, yep. Jafar Jackson, 26, the King of Pop's nephew and son of Jermaine Jackson, has been cast to play the main role in Antoine Fuqua's film about Michael's life. Now, I just listen. You know, great that you all got somebody so close to home. He does represent an era of Michael Jackson's life. In appearance, mm-hmm. In legacy, and but also in appearance, like there is a period in time where Michael did look like Jafar. Howsomever, and we've had this conversation, but I think it's worth bringing up again. I was alive, popping, and sneaking black and miles when the very first Jackson 5 American Dream movie dropped. Two nights on ABC, I believe it was. It was a two-night extravaganza. And let me tell you something. If you missed it, you didn't know when the next time you were going to see it was. If you did not get to it and you did not record it on your VCR, then you were not going to see it until it came out 1.5 to 2 years later on VHS, because that's what used to happen to us. We used to have to wait. If you missed a movie when it came out in the theaters, you missed a movie that came on TV, or you were not going to get it on VHS until a minimum of 1 year later.
Minimum.
Okay. So anyway, I remember when that two-night extravaganza happened for us all, and we gathered as a people, as a country, and sat in front of our TVs for two nights straight and watched Jackson 5 and American Dream. And that, for me, is the only biopic that I'm ever going to need.
Was that considered a biopic?
Probably not.
Okay.
Because I'd be wrong. But all I'm saying is that is all I needed of the Jackson life. Because it was everything. It was everything. It gave us quotables. Be like, you're a liar and you're a cheat. And I don't want you. I don't want you. I don't want you. I don't want you no more. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I can't. Butter pecan ice cream gives me two memories. One of my grandfather and one of Joseph Jackson getting ready to deceive Catherine and sending her to the supermarket for butter pecan ice cream because he wanted to talk on the phone to his floozy and cheat.
Floozy.
And she cussed him out and then she limped off.
Floozy.
And so, floozy. Home wrecker. Let me stop. I'm just playing. We know shit happens. But Joseph was out here creeping, and Joseph did not have Catherine's intentions for good. And that is all of the Jackson 5 that I need to see.
I wonder, is Jafar's participating in this biopic, does that mean that the family's on board?
I would assume so. I can't imagine. Now, granted, listen, weird shit happens in families all the time. But I can't imagine that it is not an approved biopic if Jafar is playing the role of his uncle.
Mm-hmm.
But that also is off of the assumption that they were on good terms, or like, you know, like I said, weird shit happens in family. Hell, Prince didn't have a will, and neither did Aretha. So that's not a confirmation, but it's an assumption.
All right.
That the estate is on board with this and behind it. But Antoine Fuqua, who is responsible for a number of, maybe Training Day.
Okay.
And a couple of other things. He is who's behind this biopic.
I understand.
Yep. So that's that. Jafar's getting ready. And I mean, Jafar, what a name.
How old is Jafar? Does it say?
26.
Okay. 26. It will be interesting because I think when it comes to Michael Jackson biopics, much like any other sort of like big famous icon,
mm-hmm.
they almost have to pick which period of time they want to sort of focus on.
Because Jafar is giving Thriller,
yeah,
Billie
it's
Jean.
Not, yeah, it's not going to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would say that the biopics that try to tell the whole story of someone's life often miss the mark and sort of being selective.
But you know what didn't? Jackson 5, The American Dream, where we got Jason Weaver singing Climb Every Mountain, and then and also in the Shake Club, the Titty Club, where Joseph had them in places they didn't have no business being.
No business.
And evolving to, my hair. All I'm saying is Jackson 5 and American Dream gave us everything that we needed. We don't need no more.
And that is Jade's position.
That is my position. Am I going to watch it? Probably.
Probably.
But
is it going to be like, is it going to be in theaters or is it going to be to the networks? What are we doing?
I don't know.
Okay.
Let me see here. LA Times. What say you? Yeah, he's giving me Thriller, Billie Jean era of Michael Jackson. He's giving me Off the Wall era Michael Jackson. It says film. Whether that's going to be a streaming film or a movie theater film, I am not. Okay, and Fuqua, director of Training Day, The Equalizer, Will Smith's Emancipation, he is the one who is behind. He's directing this.
Well, I just hope they get it right. That's all I'm saying. I hope they get it right.
I hope so, too. Like, if we, I mean, it would be a gift if we were able to have Jackson 5 and American Dream and whatever the fuck this is going to be called in one lifetime. And they're both wonderful movies. Like, never seen it done before, but, you know, stranger things have happened. So, yeah, that is that about that. What else do we have on this docket this week? The Biden administration,
oh Lord,
is looking to essentially end the pandemic.
End
in May. Yes.
What do you mean?
So,
end.
So you know, the pandemic is a classification of a worldwide emergency. That is what pandemic means. It is worldwide and it affects every person across the globe. I guess essentially they are looking to maybe reduce it to an endemic. I think that was my understanding. Or not make it an emergency case any longer with things sort of returning to normalcy. Now, I know at first listen that is like jarring as fuck, right? Because COVID is still going around. People are still catching it. Two of our good friends didn't make it to the Jeezy show because they caught COVID. And it's unfortunate, like, that this is the way that it's sneaking up on people. I think at this point, though, we understand that that is not to take away the fact that this is a risk to certain individuals, especially those with compromised immune systems and so forth and so on. And I think a lot of illnesses can also be attributed, you know, can attribute to being more dangerous for those with compromised immune systems and so forth. So I think what my understanding of reading this was, they are just reducing this down to basically where it is no longer a worldwide emergency.
I feel like, so is the Biden administration leading or contributing to conversations? Because I feel like this is a determination of the World Health Organization versus,
agreed,
sort of what the Biden administration, it's not like a decision that they would make. So I feel like toward the end of 2022, there were conversations amongst, you know, well, stories saying that the World Health Organization was considering that. But, you know, I agree. I feel like, I don't know. I don't want us to be hasty in our sort of coming to terms with where we are in this. I fear that us erring on, you know, too close, you know, to just let's go back to normal, quote unquote,
Agreed.
Force us backwards as opposed to forward as it relates to this thing. So I would encourage us. Well, I know that I speak for myself. I'm going to continue to be vigilant.
Agreed.
And I have come to really appreciate mask.
On airplanes.
And just not having to share air with people that I do not know. But I recognize that some of us are not there, and that's a personal choice.
This is not my petty peeve, but do you know that I sat next to two booger pickers?
Ew. What?
On my flight back from Atlanta. So
unacceptable.
Weirdly enough, Delta. So I booked the tickets a couple months ago, and I selected our seats. When I went to go check in for our flight, our seats were no longer together. They weren't the original seats that I'd chosen. That's never happened to me before.
Odd.
I've never had that happen.
Very odd.
I thought it was very odd. But I didn't want to be that person that went and was like, me and my husband, because at that point, it's clear that we have a full flight. Mm-hmm. We need to get there. We're going to be together all weekend. I'll just deal with it, right? But I'm like, if I notice that, I'm glad to make note of this so that going forward, I can go double check this ahead of time, right? So we're sitting in different places. So on the way back, we both unfortunately had middle seats. Why does Delta Comfort have middle seats? What is the point? But anyway, so we're both in middle seats. Unfortunate, but that's just what it is. two booger pickers, a man to my left and a woman to my right.
A woman?
Who took up both of the armrests, did not leave me a lick of space to my right.
That's very
and then I'm trying to lean away from this man because he was the first one picking his nose. But this bitch starts picking her nose later. And then, you know what she does? And you know there wasn't a cover.
I reposted a meme earlier this week. I'm sorry, I cut you off. I reposted a meme saying that y'all are getting very comfortable coughing in public again.
You know the crazy thing? They've always been comfortable coughing in public because my mother is just as crazy of a germaphobe as I am. And my mother actually used to scream at us and drill it into our heads. A cough and a sneeze stay in the air for 45 minutes. Now, whether that science is true or not, I cannot confirm. But all I know is it rings in my head when somebody sneezes or coughs in public that a cough or a sneeze stays in the air for a minimum of 45 minutes. And so therefore, I have always been just psycho about people who cough and sneeze in public without covering or putting their heads in their shirts. And let me tell you something, that elbow shit y'all do when you're in public, it does not motherfucking work. You need a handkerchief.
Oh, this.
You know, this don't work. Like, contrary to everybody's belief, the elbow shit doesn't work. You need to put your head in your shirt. Then you have to do the worst you can. Don't not do anything. Do the best you can, but try to get to the shirt. So, anyway, I was losing my mind and they were doing that. And that is where I got nervous reading this initially. But I said, you know what? Also, like, to be completely realistic, I may not love this, but we can't be in a pandemic forever. At some point, it can't be forever. I guess. I don't know. Or maybe it can be if that's what it is. I don't fucking know. I'm not part of the WHO. But I, like you said, I'm going to still keep wearing my mask in crowded areas and on public transportation and on, that includes planes, metal buses in the sky. And, oh, and do you know what else that man did?
What man?
He told me ahead of time. He was trying to be the one who was picking his nose the whole time with no shame. He told me. Initially, he was like, oh, if you need to get out and go to the bathroom at any point, you just say the word and it won't be a problem. A, it wasn't going to be no problem.
Period.
But I understand he was trying to be kind, but how stupid. But then also, I responded to him and I said, you don't have to worry about that because I don't use airplane bathrooms. And he was like, oh, okay. Like, it was very much like a, okay, you crazy fucking psycho bitch. But also, you sat here and picked your nose the whole fucking time. So all you did was confirm how I feel about the general disgusting public. Motherfucker. So I was so irritated. I hate gross. I hate gross. They were both gross. They were just gross.
Cleanliness is really a personal choice.
Yeah,
and that's really very unfortunate because I feel like that's one of the things that should be more of a universal standard or requirement. Mm-hmm. But there are evidently varying interpretations and degrees of cleanliness.
I think that there needs to be an alarm in public bathrooms. If somebody exits the stall and then doesn't approach the sink, that an alarm goes off.
I agree.
There's so many things in my dictatorship that I would implement in my society.
I wholeheartedly agree that we should be, people should be named publicly for that kind of infraction because it matters.
It does.
On how because I will engage you.
You are a hazard, a dangerous hazard to society. You're a filthy, and I even told, I had to tell my parents and they busted out laughing. I was like, and I'm sorry, this is a lot of information, but I mean, it's good things. Tristan was like, you know what? Because he's always been a clean person. We wouldn't be together. But, you know, sometimes you make your partner aware of certain things and you all make each other aware of certain things over time, right? And so I think in my psychotic behavior at times, he came home one day and he goes, you know what? You know what I started doing? And I said, what? He said, I started washing my hands before I use the bathroom.
Look at
He's
God.
Like, because I realize whatever I touched, I'm putting on my dick.
That's right.
And I was like, I?
Because when you know better, you do better.
You do better.
And okay, that's just the bottom line.
And so I told my mom, and my mom goes, I'm going to tell your father that.
I commend the transparency. All
the things he's been putting on his dick.
Absolutely.
And I did too. I was like, you are absolutely, because yes, think about it. You go in there and you go straight
it's
to.
It's absolutely and true. Every,
it's right absolutely on your wee wee.
It's absolutely
right on your
true.
Wee-wee.
Absolutely
so,
true.
So
absolutely
I'm
true.
Just, you know, for all of my people out there who have to pull their penises out, because I recognize that is a people thing, you might want to wash your hands, because whatever you touch is on your penis. And also for all of my people with vaginas, it might be a good idea to cleanse your hands before you go into the bathroom stall, because while you're not wiping with your hand, you know, close contact, just saying. Have you watched the Jonah Hill and Lauren London movie? What's it called? Who Guess Who's Coming to Dinner?
No, I think it's called You People.
You People, that's right. It seems to be such a hot topic of conversation, but I have not had the chance to indulge just yet.
I have not watched. I have spoken with LaToya, who has watched. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of got her general impression. And mm-hmm. I feel safe in saying this here at the kitchen table. I am not excited about things that are produced by Kenya Barris.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Not always, no.
I do recognize that he has had great success, and I respect that and acknowledge sort of the imprint that he has made with super successful shows like Black-ish and
absolutely
Grown-ish and, you know, that whole sort of thing. But, you know, I would be remiss in failing to acknowledge some of the very public and problematic statements he has said.
Absolutely.
And that has absolutely colored the way in which I see him and his art.
Emphasis on color.
Because that word choice was intentional.
Ism.
Yes, it is.
You just add ism to the end of that, and that seems to be a common trope.
Right. And so I feel like this is an ongoing debate, and I would like to publicly state that I'm not interested in going back and forth with the internet about this.
No, not at all, actually.
And this does not mean that I'm not going to watch it. I am just saying that, you know, I take his movies and television shows with a grain of salt because of ways that I have been concerned in the past about how he sort of depicts certain narratives as, you know, reflective of Blackness.
Uh-huh. And a celebration of or a uplifting of certain skin tones, lighter skin tones.
Oh yeah, and I think it's, and I don't even have any qualm or beef, or this is not me saying that the interests, perspectives, and experiences of biracial people are not worthy of sort of being spotlighted in this way, but I don't care for the ways the conversation has been handled when he's been sort of questioned about choices that he's made as it relates to his approach to storytelling and casting. And so, you know, as a consumer, I reserve the right to be selective. Again, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to support. I probably will at some point take a look at it. But, you know, I was impressed to be amongst the first people to watch it when it dropped, because typically things that he has sort of put out have given me pause, and I'm paused right now.
I think that's fair. I actually didn't know that he was that was his movie. I didn't know that he.
And I'm excited about. Yeah. And I feel like I'm excited about seeing Eddie Murphy and Nia Long and Lauren London. There were some things that Toya mentioned that were kind of quirky to me that I'm interested in going to sort of see for myself
how they played out.
Yeah. Particularly,
I mean, listen, it's an interesting casting,
right? And it's an interesting concept, honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not a concept. It's not a brand new concept that we've never seen.
Right.
Hence me thinking it was called "Guess Who's Coming to Dinner."
yeah.
Exactly. You know, if you know anything about Sidney Poitier, as uppity Negroes like to say, Poitier. if you know anything about Sidney Poitier and, you know, all of that, then, you know, this is not a new concept, but it also, I mean, obviously, yes, it looks entertaining and it's right. I have other opinions that I'll keep to myself. You know, I support those on the movie and their endeavors, whether, you know, they're the most skillful or not. That's not really here nor there. I will watch the movie at some point. I agree with you with Kenya Barris's viewpoint. I feel like he's been rather dismissive many times in his response to valid questions that have been brought up to his, as it pertains to his casting and storytelling. I also can recognize people's personal experiences, but also recognize where there could be a little bit more intention and thoughtfulness in how you respond to that. And that hasn't been the case.
Right.
So I agree with you in those sentiments. But I will watch to support the cast at some point.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll have a conversation and about it when we both.
I look forward to that. I will be open to that. And if there are those of you at the kitchen table or at our listening, within our listening community, that, you know, wanna be a part of the conversation or have specific questions or things you want me and Jay to speak to or look for, we're absolutely open to that as well. And I mean, maybe even in the future, we can talk more about how to sort of continue to support art and artists while maintaining some accountability.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And because so, that is a thing.
Yeah. And I'm not looking for folks like Kenya Barris to have the answer or to sort of, you know, be able to address some of these larger systemic issues. But I do feel like you said, there's a dismissiveness. And to me, sort of like an overall resistance and unwillingness to even acknowledge that you are participating
in the validity of what's being said.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that is what is concerning for me. But you know, I'm not above giving it a chance. I'm not closed. I'm not, you know, we don't like we say all the time here, we're not like wholesale cancel culture. Cancel. So
I mean, you got to be an egregious motherfucker, like, you know who. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Where I'm like, I can't fuck with anything that you do on any level.
Right.
But like you said, this industry is full of human beings.
Yeah.
And human beings have a tendency to fuck up. And if we believe otherwise, then we are going to be sorely disappointed for the remainder of our lives.
Correct.
Nobody here upholds all of rightness all the time. But I do think that there is an accountability that can definitely be had and spoken about while having a nuanced conversation. So, I agree with you actually in that. And I think that was a wonderful point to bring up. Lastly, you know, I don't want to talk about this, but we have to.
Mm-hmm.
The Tyre Nichols case where he was murdered by the hands of 6 police officers, 5 of them being Black, 1 of them being white. I think it came out not too long ago, as we're recording this, that the 6th officer, the white officer, was released, but it does not say convicted. And I thought it an important conversation to have because, you know, a lot of people have questions and sentiments and thoughts around it being all Black police officers in a case of, or being predominantly Black police officers in a case of police brutality. And I think it's important to note that this is still a result of white supremacy.
Absolutely, without question.
There's still a result of white supremacy. I mean, please go ahead.
As the broader concept of policing was about the control of bodies and protecting the interests of leadership, whether that be the king or or I guess white white male leaders that were leaders of this country during you know the founding during this country's origin, and I guess you know throughout time now, but you know, we've talked at great length around sort of how white supremacy functions as a systematic mechanism of oppression and marginalization. And we've established as recently as last week that you don't have to be white to be anti-black. And so, you know, this is just another example of how sort of values and beliefs and ideologies that black people have been steeped in for generations will cause us all to sort of, you know, consciously and subconsciously participate in our own oppression. And this is just a case of that, a very heartbreaking, heart-wrenching, traumatizing, disgusting display of the, just how, you know, the world has been socialized to dehumanize and devalue the lives of black and brown people. And, you know, of course, you know, as we have said and will continue to say, you know, this is just, this will never be not that. So many people want to sort of, you know, raise the black on black crime flag and all of this other nonsense. But, you know, I was came across a James Baldwin quote today, and I'm going to post it on my social this week. But he basically said, "I'll never know how a white person feels about me as a black man. I can only be forced to conclude what they feel about me based on the state of their institutions." And so when we talk about institutions like policing and education and, you know, public policy, real estate policy, working labor units, the ways in which we've been systematically excluded, you know, how can we continue to act like we are embodying this idealism of all men are created equal when the practice of our institutions has always proved otherwise? So we will continue to keep the family of Tyre Nichols lifted in prayer, and all of us, as and especially also praying for those people who are on the front lines of this work, continuing to speak truth to power, despite the system's relentless objections and denial about what is really happening. So thank you to everyone who continues to show up and sit in front of the cameras and on microphones and saying what needs to be said, despite the ridicule that I know that you're getting. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know how, I mean, this is just another example. Of course, we keep having to say this over and over again because this violence continues to happen all over the country.
Yeah, it does. I mean, and you know, yeah, we just have these conversations constantly. We have the same
very ghetto
sentiments that vary between abolish the police or reform police reform. And honestly, I don't know what the answers are at this point, because these narratives and these narratives just continue to play out. And it's really just, it's hard to have to just listen to, and you can only imagine what the families are experiencing, because it's not that we never think this is going to happen to us, clearly, because of, you know, the trajectory of what's been going on, but also that's just not
That's not the call that anybody deserves to receive.
No.
And it doesn't even feel good that the officers face charges of second degree murder, aggravated assault, aggravated kidnapping, official misconduct, and official oppression. That doesn't even feel good because it shouldn't have happened in the first place.
Right.
That's not the tone that we're wanting. This is the tone of the world that we live in, and we'd be doing a disservice to us as a people by not having the uncomfortable conversations. But with that being said, we want to send immense love and prayers, which never feels like enough, to the loved ones of Tyree Nichols, who are heartbroken right now, and I'm sure incensed, and so many other feelings. That just doesn't ever feel like enough, right?
Woefully inadequate, but still sincere, yeah. Still very sincere and heartfelt. So, absolutely. Y'all continue to stay safe. Keep yourself safe, physically as safe as you can, physically
as you can,
but also emotionally and mentally. Be cognizant of how much of this toxic information that you are ingesting, and mm-hmm. and the way that it is impacting you, and take the space and time that you need to try to process, but keep perspective as best as we can about all that is happening to us and around us. But
absolutely,
we all we got, absolutely. Man. So have the conversations that you need to have with your people, and let your emotions.
All skin folk and kin folk also.
Period.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I know a lot of us, selves included, a lot of times want to believe that when we see somebody who looks like they might align with our viewpoints, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the case. And that sometimes is a harder pill to swallow than maybe a straight up and down racist who would put a burning cross in your yard, right? Because it hits harder. You know what I'm saying? It's like the calls coming from inside the house, and that never feels good. So, but that's something that we do have to keep in mind. All the skin folk ain't our kin folk. So.
And like Melissa said last week, being black doesn't make you pro-black.
Don't. Okay? Let's talk about it. It don't. It don't make you pro-black. It doesn't even make you see the right side of things. Right. And I will leave that alone now, because I ended the show on a very chaotic note last week. Did you see the story I posted with the man laughing and pissing off the other man? I'm going to have to post that again for you all who missed it one more time.
Let's move on to the shout out, please.
I'm sorry. I know. I'm getting ugly again. I'm sorry. Wait, no. I have one more story.
She going to apologize and then be chaotic immediately following.
Because it was so crazy.
What is going on with this show?
One more, because the world is chaotic, sister. And it's not funny by any means. It's extremely dangerous. So we have talked about how people are getting veneers in people's dining rooms, basements, and kitchens.
Risky behavior.
They are taking it too many steps too far, because now we have fake nursing diploma schemes uncovered in Florida.
Listen, I said this, and I was like, you know, we have to pay attention. Because in what a time, right, where a place like Florida would be so hell bent and so riled up, and you know, devote all of their main story coverage to attacking an AP African American Studies course, right? Whole time you can get a nursing degree in Florida for $100. You can get a license, maybe. Not just a degree, but you can become a licensed quote. Quote, not real license. Quote. You can purchase a license to be a nurse and be responsible for the health and well-being of other people.
where you then go into public health spaces and you administer medication and all types of other things that could fully take somebody out. What the fuck? And I saw people at, what about the vetting process? Like, what is happening? You know what the problem is? Hospitals and clinics and so forth and so on are so understaffed.
Pressed. So because of the dire need.
awful ways that our government and our country handles everything. They are so understaffed. My sister has told me no less than four times in the last probably year and a half. She's a registered nurse in New Orleans. She has told me no less than four times in the last how many times her hospital is getting ready to lay off a bunch of nurses. And then they end up renewing certain contracts and like, oh, we're only going to do it for this long. But she's like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to have me a job in 2 weeks because they're talking about. And I'm like, so what? Who is going to? Because you, my sister is a ER nurse. She assists in surgeries, a surgical nurse. She assists in emergency surgeries. Okay. So like, she's very callous to many things because of all of the things that she has to see on a daily basis. But she is an ER surgical nurse. And they are talking about laying off a bunch of them. What? But these niggas are buying degrees for $100.
We are in
the price of some headphones.
Perilous times.
Buy yourself a nursing degree and some AirPods. What? The nursing degree is less than the AirPods, sister.
Less. Isn't that
That's
something?
Crazy. That's crazy. Okay, what but a time to be alive.
We have got to be... We have got to be very diligent and vigilant about being informed consumers. We cannot trust policies and that people are doing what they say that they're doing. We have to be willing to go above and beyond, ask questions, and checking the credibility and the credentials of the people who we are paying to keep us safe and well. So y'all just be informed, okay? Ask questions, advocate for yourself. I mean, because what a ghetto world. What a time.
I hate it. And I think to myself,
what a ghetto world.
What a ghetto full world.
Ghetto full. Ghetto full. I'm sick of it.
I think I'm going to call that this episode.
Ghetto full.
Ghetto full world. And I think to myself. Oh, my Lord. All right, let's get into a shout out.
Yes, less.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
This is popping right now,
Lara. All right, you all, it is time for a shout out. And we have a listener submission this week, which I thought was such an awesome, awesome shout out to be able to do. It says, greetings, Dr. Kia and Chef Jade. I'm writing to you on behalf of the Best Me Conference, a day-long event dedicated to celebrating and empowering Black women.
Yes.
Our conference will take place on April 1st, 2023 in Hayward, California. and will feature a lineup of dynamic speakers and interactive workshops focused on the theme of the soft life, which encourages attendees to create comfortable and fulfilling lives that align with their personal values.
I love the definition.
We believe that this conference is an important opportunity to support and uplift Black women, and we're seeking promotion to help make it a success. Well, here it is, baby. As a longtime listener of the podcast and member of hashtag Team Typing Fast.
Go ahead, girl.
I can say that the content that you share with us on a weekly basis has truly been a source of joy, inspiration, and information. Oh, man. What you both contribute to the podcast space is important, particularly for Black women who we know are often in search of community and fellowship. And I know for me, when I moved from Queens, New York to Jackson, Mississippi, Queens, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all. Your podcast really got me through feelings of being homesick. Just hearing the New York wash over me soothed my spirit, yes. Something serious. And the culture shock, that Southern culture really took time for me to adjust to. And it was nice to jump back into familiar waters. I would love it if you would consider sharing information about our upcoming conference to the Getting Grown community. We're thrilled to do it. So we are going to have all of the Eventbrite links in the conference website, which is www.thebestmeconference.com, listed in the description box,
oh, yeah.
A place where you can find all of the shit that we talk about. And
what is happening?
Because they don't like to read the description.
Oh, my
box.
God.
I'm just saying, XD is on the same wave that I, boy.
Jeez.
But I want you all to get this information. So that's why I speak to you in fierce love.
Okay.
I want you to hit up the bestmeconference.com, hit up the link in the description box, as well as the Eventbrite link, so that you can get all of the information. I think this is such an awesome initiative for Black women. I love when Black women do things to take care of Black women. Like you said, we all we got. And I thought this was just a really, really dope shout out to do. So
wondrous.
Thank you to Julia Dorsey, who wrote in to let us know about the Best Me Conference.
Hey, Julia. Y'all check
Julia!
Out. Check out the conference information. Support if you can. Thanks for being such a great supporter of this show, Julia. And yeah, y'all ready to kick it to the next segment, sis?
We're ready to get on over to the next segment. Let's head on over.
This week's Honesty Box is brought to you by the Tabitha Brown for Target Vegan Food and Kitchen Collection. Tabitha Brown brightens days like no one else. Now, the actress, vegan, and social media phenomenon is partnering with Target to bring the world more vibrance, candor, and joy. With delightful everyday favorites to the kitchen and pantry, her latest limited time collection will bring love to every gathering. Vegan eating isn't boring if you have a little fun with it. Try new and unexpected recipes and experiment with ingredients you've never tried. Whether you're looking for a meatless Monday dinner idea or challenging yourself to a plant-based January, this collection makes eating vegan easy and delicious. Tab says, good food, good mood. The Tabitha Brown for Target Vegan Food and Kitchen Collection is available now at Target and Target.com for a limited time only.
Honestly, truly.
Guess what we starting back this week, y'all? Or guess what we're doing this week, excuse me. Honesty Box! I'm doing that Oprah hand shaking move. So, hello, Jade and Kia. Feel free to give me a pseudonym of your choosing,
oh, wow,
if you read this on the show. So, sister, do your do.
Gail King.
Gail King says, I'm not sure if this will be read by you both or not, but I can completely relate to your grandmother being your first,
aww,
best friend.
Yay.
I was blessed enough to grow up with my maternal and paternal grandparents, as well as paternal great-grandparents.
Love that.
My great-grandfather, same actually, Gail King. My great-grandfather passed when I was in elementary school, and my great-grandmother passed while I was in college, as well as my maternal grandfather. Recently, my maternal grandmother has been on hospice and has recently made a fast decline. Mm. I have some of the best memories with my grandmother that I know others are not blessed enough to experience. My grandmother taught me how to use a sewing machine at a young age. I helped her bake cakes for the house or other family members, and you could always count on her for a good laugh. My grandparents and great-grandparents were like bonus parents for me. I knew I could count on them for a good laugh and a life lesson. Although my maternal grandmother is still with us, I know she won't be for much longer. This will be a hard loss for me, but I know she's lived a beautiful life and will no longer suffer once she makes her transition.
I do encourage those who have grandparents to cherish the relationship that you have, as I've been with mine and will continue. Life is too precious and short to not take the opportunity to foster healthy family relationships. I'm forever grateful for what this podcast has brought and will continue to bring to me. Thank you both so much for what you do. Gail King.
Oh, Gail King, girl, we love you and we are praying for you. You are not in it by yourself. And thank you so much for honoring your grandmother and sharing her life with us. We are very grateful to have learned about her and to be connected to you. Thank you so much.
Yes, very much so. And you spoke a word, right? I complain about cleaning up my grandmother's house, and I will continue to do so. but I think you're living somewhere in between the two of us right now, right? Kia recently just experienced a very heavy loss of her grandmother. And while my grandmother is not on hospice, and we send you so much love while you're in this space, my grandmother's 87, right? So I do have many conversations with myself where it's like, call her, talk to her when you feel it. But also, my cousin passed away last week, right? Or 2 weeks ago, excuse me. And my grandmother called me and she was heartbroken. My other cousin passed away about a month and a half ago. Her son, she lost her first child, her son, last year. She lost her son-in-law last year, a couple of months before we lost my other uncle. So it's been a series of loss, and she's tired, right? She lost her husband 9 years ago, the man she's been with since she was 16 years old, about to hit 64 years of marriage when he passed. So she's tired. She's experienced a lot. She's dealt with a lot. And I know that I don't have 15 more years with her, you know? And so I send you so much love while you're in a place where she's not gone, but you're dealing with and accepting the reality that's in front of you as much as it hurts. And so, Gail King, I send you so, so, so much love and so many hugs. And I sit right with you and really appreciating when we have the ability to have those healthy relationships, because I know everybody doesn't have that either. I sit with you and really cherishing those.
For sure.
And I know Kia does as well.
Absolutely. And just want to add that, you know, sometimes we can think of these things in very limiting, linear, either or kind of ways. But what my journey with grief is teaching me every day is that all of our emotions can and should coexist.
That's it.
So you can grieve, but also make room and space in your heart for joy, because joy and grief can and should coexist. So be joyful and appreciative and encouraged by all of the amazing, amazing memories that you have with your grandma.
Absolutely.
Talk about her often, tell stories about her, say all the things that she used to say, because those things will bring you joy and comfort even while you are also managing and learning to live with your grief.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But love, 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 love to you. So much love to you, Gail King.
Love you.
And you may continue to send your Honesty Box questions to gettinggrownpodcast@gmail.com. And we're going to move on to the Black person self-care.
Show your right.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
We need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
I deserve
This week in self-care, I am fully embracing
the changes that come with aging.
Hey.
And aging fabulously, might I add. But, you know, I'm recognizing things that I have been doing or habits that I have that don't really serve me. Simple things. If I just took some time to pay attention to, you know, I can make my life easier on a day-to-day basis. This is really small, but it is not so small because it's made a huge difference. A small change that has had a huge impact. Mm-hmm. As Jade knows, but as I feel like, you know, won't surprise many of you, I don't like to wear shoes. I prefer, especially when I'm home, I prefer very much to be barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just that is when I am just the most happiest, when my toesies are just free to roam and do what they do. Yes. But I also acknowledge that I have a very flat foot. And as such, it's not always the best or the most comfortable for me to be barefoot. Especially, mm-hmm. I've noticed since I've been working out, walking and running more, I notice things that sort of set me up and set my body up for success. And I don't struggle as much with my joint pain or even recovery from workouts. I feel like my feet, you know, I wasn't really taking care of my feet all that well, in that me walking around the house barefoot wasn't good for my fallen arches. And so what did I do? I searched for some house shoes with arch support.
All right.
And I was able to find a pair that were not just alarmingly ugly.
I love that.
But they are like, you know, a little in the house. You know, think Birkenstocks, but like, you know, just for the house shoes.
I love that, actually. But I'd love for you to send me some.
Yes, I will send you the link. I have been wearing them the last few days, and just, I mean, it has been, I mean, the relief, the just, the I have been, it's been exponential. It's like, whoa.
I love that.
Whoa. I didn't realize that me walking around on my bare feet, even though I thought I was comfortable, I was actually doing more harm than good. And my arches deserve support.
They do deserve support.
Even when I am at home. So I am trying to get into the habit, building the habit of just doing a better job of, you know, making sure that my feet are healthy and well.
And so I love that.
My arch support. I'll show you, sis.
Let me see. Oh, they are. They're a Birkenstock for the crib.
A Birkenstock for the crib. And they have arch support in here, right? Right. Some padded arch support. They have a sturdy heel so that if I need to run outside to the mailbox or to get a package, you know, yes. I can do that. But yeah, I got them from down to the Amazon, and they are just a delight. And that's what I did in self-care.
So, you know, I bought the rubber Birkenstocks for the crib because with me cooking and stuff, I need some support. I don't have flat feet, but it hurts and it's not good for your back and your body for you to be standing just on the kitchen floor. So I do Crocs or I do the rubber Birkenstocks, but I'm very curious about these specific ergonomic fluffy situations. Yeah, go ahead and link me to that.
Will do.
Okay. Well, my Black woman self-care this week. I kind of have a part two to it in the petty peeve to end the show on a positive note, but there's still chaos in my petty peeve. But,
oh, Lord.
Now, I've been very serious about my skincare for some time now. You know, we talk openly about Exora Botanical Beauty. That's not just an ad. That's actually products that I use.
Same. And purchase.
You know, and purchase. I have other products that I incorporate into my regimen that are my tried and trues. And sometimes I switch certain things up, like when I travel, but with another tried and true travel sizes, because I think that's good for my skin as well. But
our conversation with Melissa Beck really set with me last week. And I, you know, while I don't know about shaving the peach fuzz off the side of my face now, I was very gung-ho about it in the moment.
I too have sort of peeled back. But I said that I was going to schedule the service, but have a conversation with my esthetician to see if I really need it.
Yeah, and that's just, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Consultation.
But what she said that really sat with me was getting those elbows, right? Mm. I already get the back of my hands, but it's those elbows where I just didn't even think about. You know, I moisturize them regularly, but like to really kind of focus on them a bit was a new one for me. I'm not gonna hold you. So I bought myself a few more skincare products that are part of my tried and true line, in addition to my Exora Botanical Beauty products that I used. I said there's nothing wrong with adding a couple more things to this regimen. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if we all, but I know in the pandemic, I sat and watched Jada Pinkett do her skincare routine for 3 hours or however long it took. And so I was like, if I add a couple more products to my regimen, it's not going to do anything but boost and assist. So I bought myself a couple more products with things that I need in them. And I've really been hitting these elbows in addition to, you know, the décolletage, the face, moving up, the hands, all of that. You know, make sure you note that if you didn't already know. But them elbows got me, nigga.
I too have been giving them much more attention.
Absolutely. I might even use a smidge more product. Same. Just because you got to hit those areas the way you got to hit them. And if that means that you just have to re-up a little more often, well, that's just the price that you pay.
Oh, yes.
That's it. And that is also not to say there's anything wrong with aging, because I don't want that to be misconstrued. I actually think aging is a beautiful thing. Same. But if I can, you know, shave a couple of years off my elbows, then I also don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm going to have this wrinkly ass forehead, though. Sometimes I'd be looking right like a little English bulldog. But let's move on to these petty peeves.
Let's do it.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister, because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
All right. I've been giving y'all Easter eggs for this petty peeve. So let's get into it. So I told you all about the Jeezy show. And, you know, that weekend that I had planned for Tristan. And I was really excited. I was so hyped to, like, give him the gift. So when I told him last week, I was so excited to, like, let that off my chest because I was holding it. And then, obviously, I was really excited for us to be able to just get dressed up and have a really nice night out and a weekend getaway together. And, you know, a quick one. I just was looking forward to it. And I'm like, you deserve to be celebrated immensely this year. Well, had the whole thing planned out. Usually I don't travel the day of events, but I said, you know, I'm not trying to take too much time away from his work. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to plan this thing early in the morning. We're going to get there by this time. We're going to do the things we need to do. We're going to have plenty of time to get ourselves ready, you know, where it feels easeful and it feels good. And then we get on our flight at 8:30 a.m. We're supposed to arrive in Atlanta at like 11 a.m. I don't sleep the night before getting the house together and getting myself together. So obviously I passed out instantaneously on the plane. I was awakened. Just snapped right out of my seat, out of my sleep about 10:15 a.m. because we were doing an emergency landing in Philadelphia.
Oh no.
Now, how do you take an 8:30 a.m. flight and do an emergency landing at 10:15 a.m. might wonder. It takes 45 minutes on a plane to get to D.C. Okay, right. Philly's even closer than that.
Right.
There's not even any direct flights from New York to Philly because it is such a short distance. We are like an hour and 40 minutes driving from Philly. So how has all that time? Well, what happened while I was sleeping was something happened with the air pressure in our plane. Hence why I was snapped out of my sleep, because I was having trouble breathing.
Oh, no.
We then had to do the emergency landing in Philly. So they had to do a U-turn. They had, once they realized like it was really a problem, they had to do a U-turn and land in Philly, which was the closest airport, because I think we had gotten to Delaware. So that's how it ended up being 10:15. So we get to Philly, and obviously the entire plane is trying to figure out their plans because this is a whole emergency landing. Well, I felt awful because a black lady who I ended up talking to on the line was heading to one of her very close friend's funerals. And she was like, if I don't make this memorial service, I'm not going to be able to go to the burial tomorrow because it's just for the family. Mm-hmm. So I felt awful for her. And just the whole thing was very frustrating. We didn't pull out of Philly until 5 p.m.
Wow.
The show was at 8 p.m. We landed in Atlanta at 7 p.m.
Jeez. So how?
So shout out to my pops who ran all of the last minute errands that Tristan had things that he was set to pick up at one location from his cousin, just a couple of accoutrements for his tux. My dad ran, picked all of that stuff up like while we were in the Philly airport and realized that shit was just going all the way left. Thank God I was supposed to get a pedicure. Thank God I brought myself a pair of stockings. So I said, all right, we're going to switch up this look and we're giving it Japanese street fashions. And I said, I'm going to wear tights with open toe shoes and I'm going to make it funky and I'm going to make it cute. And that's what I did. And it was cute. And because I couldn't set these toes out. I did not get to put on one single lick of makeup. Not one, which I know people love to come. You don't need makeup. That's fine. You're getting informal evening wear for a black tie event. You want to do a little extra something for yourself. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I didn't get to do a lick of that. But we still made it. We were only about 15 minutes late. And had the grandest of times. Now, Delta going to try and give us some food vouchers and a little funky $100 voucher. Nigga, y'all just ruined people's weekends. Y'all know what people had planned. And I'm not saying that emergencies can't happen, but there's got to be, I just feel like people waiting from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., a whole plane of people. There's no contingency plans in place. And y'all know airlines have been acting up. And yes, I am still suing American Airlines and it's still fuck Donna. But anyway. Oh, no, we in the process, baby. I'm leaving it right there. So I was irritated with that. Now, how I'm going to end this on a positive note before I pass this over to Kia because I've talked too much is I had the thought multiple times, but also in your own frustration of dealing with a situation in real time, even with optimistic thoughts and things like that, it's still like, this fucking sucks. But the other part of the petty peeve, the second part, I'm sorry, sis, is that when it came time to actually get on that final flight, I walk up and I buzz my boarding pass and go, ah.
Oh, Lord.
Lady goes, you're not supposed to be on this flight. I said, the fuck I'm not. Okay. Here's my original boarding pass. Did you rebook yourself? I did not. I followed every instruction that you all said. Call this 1-800 number. They was passing out green cards because the line was so long for people trying to pass out. Call Delta. Call this line. Da, 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 da. I said, I followed every step that I was told. I am absolutely supposed to be on this flight. Well, the lady starts acting like she doing me a favor. Like I'm a standby passenger. Well, you're just going to have to see. I'm just going to have to see what I can do. You have to see what you can do. Lady, I was just already inconvenienced from 10 o'clock along with the rest of these people. How all of a sudden am I not supposed to be on this flight?
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, after all that happened, this black lady comes up to me and she says, first of all, that was fucked up. She was like, but I want you to know there's some sort of protection here. And there's a reason why you didn't end up on that flight. And I said, you know what? I definitely had that thought, but thank you for affirming it and for helping me to really pivot my thought process, because you're right, right? A lot of times rejection is protection, and that is we are
there's something else happening that we are, and it doesn't always feel good, right?
That's right.
It doesn't always feel good.
I'm proud of you. I am so proud of you right now.
Man. So I was like, she's absolutely right. I can't even be mad at what she just came and said. That was affirming. But also this fucking sucks.
I mean, because those two things can and should be true at the same time.
Both and, as we talked about in our honesty box.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's my very long petty peeve. What's yours?
I feel like mine is just like so insignificant. After that, I was just going to say very, very briefly that I know that, that the Biden administration don't think we see it or notice it. But I know that the gas prices is creeping back up. Okay.
Oh, I saw that $3.50, whatever the fuck.
I said, now, wait a minute here. We're going in the wrong direction. And I don't know what's going on, but people need to tighten up.
Tighten up.
Tighten up.
Tighten up. Tighten up. It's still fuck Trick Daddy, but tighten up.
Thank y'all so much for listening to another episode of Getting Grown. If you are watching on Patreon, you have seen me eat my dinner at the kitchen table. I thank you to mind your business. Okay, because I'm doing my best. And I made sure, I don't want to hear no qualms. I made sure that y'all did not hear me chewing in the microphone one time.
Didn't. Not one time. Not one time.
Because I'm a professional.
Meanwhile, they heard this the whole time. Because what? I am not a professional.
No. But I thank y'all. Okay? We have two jobs. We have several jobs. And we have doing our best to survive. And the food came. And I just was not going to sit here and let it get cold. I couldn't do it.
I know. I understand. I saved mine. Because I was like, I can't sit here and eat fajitas in front of y'all. That's crazy. But
I'm trying to be discreet as possible. But listen. We're doing our best. We're doing our best. Good. Thank y'all so much. We love y'all so much. Getting Grown is getting ready to be 6 years old. We're excited. We're planning some new and exciting things to take ourselves and our community to the next level. Thank y'all for riding with us, sticking it out all these years. And we are gonna continue to show up and give you guys the best content that we got. Thank you. To all of our sponsors and to you, all of our listeners, take us out, sis. Tell them what they should do.
All right. Make sure you're drinking that water, hydrating those internals. It's very, very important. We talked about skincare. You got to do that from the inside what? Out. Mm-hmm. Second of all, mind your business.
That's the only
unless it's getting ready to cause vast harm on the majority of the people around you. But other than that, mind your business, okay? It is the best way. Don't worry about what Key is eating for dinner. Don't worry about where I be at. Just mind it. And lastly, make sure you're hitting those elbows, those in between those toes, the back of those heels,
your décolletage.
That face, that décolletage, that lower back, because she gets ashy. Why, sis?
Because your black will crack if it's dry. Y'all be good.
Some of your blacks are already ashy. Listen, remember that.
And there it might be time for you to reverse the damage if you follow our instructions.
From the internals. Thank you.
Yes.
Bye.
But don't be hateful, because that won't matter. Okay, bye.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.